Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our congregation and myself would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the sermon today. Our prayer is that the message will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer. Amos chapter number 4, I want us to look at one piece of scripture here. In verse number 12, Amos 4, verse 12, and I beg you that you bear with me today, a little different type of message, but I'm going to do exactly what God has laid upon my heart, and I'm going to do it with all my heart by the help of God. And so I beg you to listen very, very earnestly today to what thus saith the Word of God. I want you to notice that the scripture says, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel." God is speaking through the prophet Amos to the nation or the people of Israel. They have sinned against God. They have rebelled against God. They have turned away from the worship of one true God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God says, "I'm going to chastise thee. I'm going to bring judgment upon you." And he says, "Because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." I want to take the last part of that sentence as our launching pad today. And I want you to take the very last word, Israel, and I want you to place your name there. And I would ask you to participate. We'll read these last few words, starting with the word prepare. And we'll read to the end of this verse. But when you get to Israel, I want you to say your name. Prepare to meet thy God, O Lee. Let's do it again. Prepare to meet thy God, O Lee. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that in Jesus Christ's name that you'd help us in a very special way. I pray, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified what is said and done in this place. And Lord, I know that the atmosphere is a little different than usual here in our church today, but Lord, I believe that you understand our broken heart, but yet, Lord, it's also mingled with rejoicing that we know that Brother Gary knew the Lord. He confessed it many times that he knew you as his personal Savior, that he was saved, and that today that he is abiding with the Son of God, the very one that washed his sins away. And so, Lord, I pray as the speaker today, I'm going to need some extra help. I pray that you would speak through me and help me, that everybody in this congregation, from the youngest to the eldest, will pay close attention to what thus saith the Lord. And Lord, we also know that there will be others, Lord, around the globe that will be listening to this message. And so, Lord, I beg you in Christ's name that you'll use it for thy glory. I pray that they'll not see me today, but they'll see you high and lifted up. Amen. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen and amen. Amen. Prepare to meet thy God. I entitled today's message simply, Eternity. Now, by the way of introduction, I would say to you that every person, whether they be young or old, male or female, rich or poor, illiterate or educated, whoever they may be, black or white, red or yellow, from the Far East or from America or wherever it may be around the world, every person that has died is in eternity right now. There's not one single person that has breathed their last breath on this side that we could say is not existing in eternity today. You've heard me say, and I said this earlier a while ago, it's just a habit of mine, that when someone passes away, I will say that they stepped into eternity. I believe that's a scriptural way to look at death, is that they have stepped into eternity. Now, before I give you the main part of the message, I want to give you two very important things about eternity. The first thing I want us to understand is the definition of eternity. What is the definition of eternity? When we speak about eternity today, preacher, what are we referring to? Well, Webster's Dictionary describes eternity as endless time. It describes it as a time where there is no end. Eternity is so endless that there is nothing, nor could there be anything beyond eternity. There is nothing beyond eternity because eternity is endless. In the Word of God, we see the words everlasting. We see the word eternal over and over again. We see the words forever and ever, forever and forever and forever. And I understand that our little human minds cannot understand or conceive or comprehend the word eternity. It's hard for us to conceive that there is a time that has no end. It's hard to understand the word forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But the Word of God teaches us that there is an eternity. There is an endless time after our time on earth. The second thing that I want you to understand is not only the definition of eternity, but I want you to understand the doctrine of eternity. The doctrine of eternity. Now, eternity did not begin or originate in the mind of mankind. It did not begin in the mind of some founder of some false religion. But eternity, or the concept of eternity when we speak about human-wise, began in the mind of Almighty God. And the only real place that you can learn about eternity, the only real place that you can learn about endless time, is in the Word of God. I said earlier that all through the Word of God we read about everlasting life or eternal life. Only one time in the King James Bible, and it's found in the book of Isaiah, is the word eternity used in all the Bible. And it's referring to God being the one who dwells in eternity, or He inhabits eternity. But the word eternal and everlasting is found all over the Word of God, especially in the New Testament. And so that is the definition of eternity: endless time, time that has no end. And the doctrine of eternity is found in God's Word. I want to say to you that God's Word teaches us over and over again that eternity does exist. There is a forever. There is an everlasting after this. And the Bible teaches us not only is there an eternity, but that you and I and all those that have been born of a woman will exist eternally in eternity. Now, there's some things I want to say to you, and please do not lose me today, because this stuff is very vital. It comes from the Lord to my heart, and I want to give it to you today. When we talk about eternity, and we think about how people every single day are stepping out into eternity, the first thing that I want you to know is, number one, the soul has been created by God so that it will exist in eternity. Now, you're going to have to listen close today, because you'll lose me if you don't listen. Number one, when we talk about eternity, understand the soul has been created by God so that it will exist in eternity. Now, if you can stay with me, you can go to the book of Genesis, chapter number 2. And every point that I'll give you today, it will be based solely and only from the precious Word of God. It will not be based on those who write books upon the subject, but it will be based upon the one true book. And the author of that book is God Himself. If anybody knows about eternity, it's got to be an eternal God. And so in Genesis chapter number 2, we have the story of the creation. And more specifically, the creation of mankind. This is the time in verse number 7, the Bible says that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I want to say to you, the soul has been created by God so that it will exist for all eternity.
Right.
Now, when we read this verse of Scripture, I want you to understand, I've said this before, but I want you to look upon this verse of Scripture. The Bible does not say that man was given a soul. The Bible makes it very clear that man became a soul. And not only did he become a soul, but because of the breath of God, he became a living soul. I've heard preachers, I've heard teachers, I've heard people say that we have a soul. They're wrong. There's no scripture for that. We do not have a soul. We are a soul. We are not a body. I know you and I are used to looking at each other in our bodily form, but we are not a body. We're not even a spirit. We're a soul. And God has made us a soul, and as a soul, we've been given a body. As a soul, we've been given spirit. The body we have been given is not eternal. This body will not be eternal. The spirit that we've been given, and that's a little S, we're not talking about the Holy Spirit, but the spirit that we've been given, it's not eternal. But the soul is. Why? Because we are a soul. When someone passes away and we go to the funeral home and we stand there with the family and someone walks in the door who just arrived for the viewing, someone says, do you know? They may say, do you know where so-and-so is? Referring to the person that has died. And that person must say, well, he's over here. Come over here, I'll show you. And they'll look in that casket and they'll say, there he is, but they're wrong. He's not there, she's not there. What you're looking at, my friend, is a shell. What you're looking at is an earthly body of that particular person that God gave them. You must understand that we are not a body, we are not a spirit, we are a soul. And with being a soul, God has enrobed us with a body. He has given us a spirit. And we need to understand that when we look at someone or their body and we say to ourselves, there they are not there, we might as well not say there they are, but say there they went. They are not there. When they breathed their last breath upon this earth, immediately, and we'll look at this in a little bit scripturally, immediately they are stepping into eternity. Their body is still here. It is going to be buried in a grave or cemetery. Their spirit is gone, but the soul is eternal. And the Bible says, and we need to understand this, you've got to really get this in your heart. Scripturally, we do not have a soul. We are a soul. Man became a living soul. God just chose to enrobe us, the soul, with flesh and bones and give us a spirit. The soul is eternal. I want to say this to you, and these are things you may have never thought of, but they're very true. The soul, there, when it comes to the soul, when it comes to you and I, there will be no interruptions in the existence of the soul. Did you hear me today? There will be no interruptions in the existence of the soul. Why? The soul is eternal. There is no interruption. We think that when someone passes away, that we say, well, they died, and then they miraculously woke up or was revived in heaven, or they miraculously woke up and were revived in hell. No, that's not scripture. The Bible teaches us that we do not have a soul, but we are a soul, and we are a living soul, which shows you and I that it speaks of being eternal, and there's no interruption in the existence of the soul. A heart attack cannot stop the existence of the soul. Are you with me? A bullet cannot stop the existence of the soul. The soul goes on. The soul lives on. Cancer cannot stop the existence of the soul. A car wreck cannot stop the existence of the soul. Why? Because God has made the soul, number one, in a way that it will exist for all eternity. We're living in a day and age where there are people standing behind the pulpit that they will preach and teach, and they believe that all there is to life is right now. But I'm telling you what, it does not end with that grave. It does not end at your funeral service. Your soul, you, the real you, will continue to exist in eternity. And I'll say this to you, based on the scriptures, that the soul will exist eternally in one or two places of eternity. There's only one or two places that you will exist and live. Well, I should say exist, but I don't use the word live quite yet. Only one or two places that your soul will exist for all eternity. In the book of Mark, chapter number 3, Jesus said that the soul that has not been saved, the soul whose sins have not been forgiven, that the Bible says that their soul will exist in place number 1, eternal damnation. Mark 3:29, look it up if you got questions. There's only one or two places for the soul to exist forever and ever and ever. Number one is eternal damnation. Those that have denied the blood of Jesus, they have not had their sins forgiven, they've not been saved by the grace of God, they will exist forever in eternal damnation. But yet, thank the Lord, there's another place. There's another choice. The book of Hebrews chapter 5 verse 9 shares with us that the soul that has been saved, the soul whose sins have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, they shall live forever in eternal, not damnation, but eternal salvation. There's only one or two places that you will forever be. You are eternal as a soul. You will be forever in eternal damnation, or you will be forever in eternal salvation. More I'll say about that shortly. Number two, never forget number one. God created the soul so that it would exist for all eternity. Number two, life. The life we now live, life is the time when we sow for eternity. Right now, this life we are living, this earthly life, this life that we have these bodies that are corrupting and dying every day, this life we now live is the time to sow for eternity. I want to, if you want to follow me over to the book of Galatians, and I want to share with you from Galatians chapter number 6, and I told you we'll not get out of the Bible today. We never do that here as long as I'm behind the sacred desk. But in Galatians chapter number 6, I want you to understand that number 2 is just as much scriptural as number 1. Number 2, life is the time we sow for eternity. Look at verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And watch verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, capital S, soweth seeds of righteousness, seeds of godliness, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Amen.
Listen to me. Number two, the life we now live is the time that we sow for eternity. As we live our lives, we need to live it with this understanding. This biblical understanding that our life is like a farmer. And it's like a farmer sowing seeds everywhere we go. The Bible talks about sowing seeds in the Word of God. Much is said about the fact that we are sowing as we live this life. Job chapter 4 verse 8, the Bible says, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness shall reap the same.
Right.
Psalms 126 verse 5, the Bible speaks how that you and I can sow with tears. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 16, the Bible says that we can even sow discord among the brethren. Hosea chapter 10 verse 12, the Bible shares with us that we should sow in righteousness.
Amen.
I want to say to you that it wouldn't be stretching the truth this morning if I was to tell you that mankind is a field. Mankind is a field. Our life is the sower. And there are many, many seeds that we sow in the lives of others. You either sow good seed or you'll sow bad seed. You either sow seed of righteousness or you'll sow seeds of unrighteousness. You'll sow seeds of godliness or you will sow seeds of ungodliness. I want to ask you, what are you sowing in the lives of your children? What are you sowing in the lives of your grandchildren? What are you sowing in the life of your spouse? What seed are you sowing in the life of your co-workers? What seed are you sowing in the life or lives of those you love? But more importantly, what seed are you sowing in the lives of sinners? Are you with me today? Number one, God has created the soul so that it would exist for all eternity. It's going to exist in one or two eternal places: eternal damnation or eternal salvation. Number two, time, or this life is the time that you and I should be sowing good seeds. What kind of seeds have you been sowing? How are you living your life? What would people say about you if they walk by your shell? They walk by your earthly body. And they may say something kind because someone's listening, but in their heart, what will they say? Will they say you were a faithful church member? Will they say you were dependable as a Christian? Will they say you had a testimony that was right with the Lord? Will they say that you did your best to shine the light of God in a dark world? Will they say that this person loved the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind? What will they say about the seeds that you're going to be sowing and the seeds that you've already sown? Number three. Oh, this is so important. Time is given to us to prepare us for eternity.
Amen.
Time is given to us. Why? To prepare us for eternity.
Right.
Eternity is so important. It's forever and ever and ever. There's no turning back. There's no winding back the clock. There's no next life. There's no what's next. It's eternal. Eternity is of vital importance. It is so important that God has given us time to prepare for it. Some people believe that the only reason they exist or live on this earth is to make money, is to have a big name, is to become famous, is to do things that will put their name up on the billboards and among the lights of all the major cities, and they think that that's the only thing there is to life. Get everything you can out of it. Get all the gusto out of it. But God's Word is contrary to that philosophy. God's Word teaches us that we've been given time to prepare ourselves for eternity. Now I want you to listen to me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 2. The Bible says, Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is writing to the church of Corinth. And he writes that concerning their salvation, concerning them preparing themselves for eternity, he writes, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. When Paul uses the word now, inspired by God Himself, he is saying now, your life now, your earthly life now, your existence right now, that is the accepted time, that is the God-given time, that is the God-ordained time that you prepare yourself to meet God. God is eternal. He's always been, He always will be. But I want to say, before God created days, before God created mankind and the animals, there was no need for time, was there? There was no need for time before the creation of the world. There was no need for time, because why? God is eternal. But when God created the days of the week, the light and the darkness, and He created man, He created the animals of this world, God began time. And that time is earthly time. At the moment of your conception, not when you were delivered from the womb, as some would have you to believe, or a month or two before you were delivered from the womb, but at the moment of your conception in the womb of your mother, your time began. And your clock began to tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. And God is the only one that has set the time of your life. God already knows how much time you got. Some had only a little time. Some have a whole lot of time. Some, we would say, had sufficient time. But we all have time because it's been given by God. Why? So that we can live it up. So that we can prepare for eternity. When your time stops here, as it did for Gary, as it has done for people that we love, our earthly time, so what I'm referring to, when that earthly time stops, it will not catch God by surprise. God has set the date, the time, to the very second that you'll breathe your last breath. I've heard people foolishly, and I've not heard anybody here say it, so I'm not being critical, I'm just being honest, foolishly say they're living on borrowed time. That's garbage. Well, they shouldn't be living. They should have been dead. They're on borrowed time. You're Xing God out of the equation. You're trying to say that God had a time a few years ago, but they outdid God. They outlast God's appointed time. No. There's no such thing as borrowed time. God knows when the last breath you'll breathe. He knows the date. He knows whether it be in the morning. He knows whether it be at night in your bed. He knows whether it be in the spring, the summer, the fall, the winter. He knows whether you'll be young, you'll be middle-aged, you'll be old, or you'll have children or grand. He knows. And you better understand this. You don't know. But God has set your time. He has set your clock. And one day that clock will no longer tick-tock. It will stop. Back in the old days, I've been to Stonewall Jackson's. I've been to where he lived. I've been to the Virginia Military Institute where he taught. I've been to the battlefields of Chancellorsville where he was shot. I've been to the place where they sawed his arm off, his left arm. I've been to the place where they buried Stonewall in Lexington, Virginia. I even went to the place there in Guinea Station, Virginia, where he died. And when we walked in there, my wife and I, the bed is still there. We walked in there, on the mantle is a clock. And it's the same clock that has always been there. And when Stonewall Jackson breathed his last breath in this life, they stopped the clock exactly when he died. They used to do that back in the old days. They'd stop the clock so that they could remember the time of death. I'm telling you, one day, your clock is going to be going around and you're going to be doing your own thing. And if you're not careful, you'll not have your mind on preparing yourself for eternity. And God's going to reach and he's going to touch that little hand and that big hand and he's going to stop it. And we're going to get the phone call that you stepped out into eternity. Let me say this, and I'm going to finish my, give you my points and give invitation. Eternity is of the utmost importance that we've been given time to prepare for it. And those that are not prepared for eternity are guilty of wasting their time. Don't lose me. Those that are not prepared for eternity. Amos said to the people of Israel, prepare for eternity. Prepare to meet God. And yet, do you know there were still people that were not ready? Do you know there were people that were not prepared? Do you know that me and you are going to have a time in our life that we need to be ready, we need to be prepared, because if we're not prepared, we're going to stand before Almighty God with the time that He's given. He's going to require to give us to give an answer for what did we do with that time, ever how many years, ever how many months, ever how many days, ever how many hours and minutes and seconds that we lived. And He's going to ask you, why did you waste that time? I'm not being rude at all, but if you are a senior saint, you ought to be more prepared for eternity than us middle-aged people. If you're a middle-aged person today, you ought to be more prepared than these teenagers. If you're a teenager today, you ought to be more prepared for eternity than our children. Why? Because each one of us, as we get older, God has given us more time and more time and more time and more time. You know what we ought to do when we have a birthday party? We not only should celebrate another year of life, celebrate the blessing that that person brings to our life, but personally, when it's our birthday, we ought to celebrate. People say, I don't want to know nothing about birthdays. You might change your mind after this. We ought to look at those candles or those cards or whatever it is, that date on a calendar, realize it's our birthday, and realize God gave you one more year to prepare for eternity. And if you're not prepared, you have wasted your time. I'm amazed at the people that are prepared in this life, but they are not prepared for the endless life. They give all their strength, their energy, their mind to this life, this earthly life, but yet they give no heed, no interest, no strength, no mind, no power, no energy to the endless life that is more important. We get so bogged down in this life that we forget that there's a greater time. We're living in an earthly time, but one day there will be an endless time. And in this earthly time, we are to get prepared for the endless time. And if you make that endless time, and when you do, and you're not prepared for it, you wasted your earthly time. God help us to spend our time wisely, prepare ourselves for eternity. You say, preacher, I know that endless time is important, but earthly time is too. Oh yeah, it's important. That's why we have the Bible. We have the Bible because one reason is because earthly time is important. We've been given instructions how to live our earthly time. We've been given instructions from the Word of God how to prepare in our earthly time for the endless time or eternity. The Word of God is very true when it says that we all will exist forever and ever and ever. Every day people leave this earthly time unprepared for eternity. My fault every time I hear, and I know as a minister, you probably know it's a spiritual fault, biblical fault, but when I receive a phone call about someone has just died, I always, the first thought is always, was they ready? So, what are you talking about, preacher? Financially, got their will to it? No, that stuff's not important to me as much as it is ready in their soul. Were they saved? Did they know the Lord? Had their sins been forgiven? Because if not, they are not existing in eternal salvation, but forever they'll exist in eternal damnation. What are you doing with your earthly time in regards to eternity? Are you prepared for eternity? If not, you have no excuse. Are you listening to me? If you're not prepared for eternity, you have no excuse because God has given you time to get ready. It's our own choice whether we use our earthly time wisely or whether we use it foolishly. Can I say this to you? Do you remember the story Jesus shared about the farmer? Do you remember the Bible says that there was a farmer that he so invested his time, energy, and strength, his finances, his all, his heart, into his commerce, into his business, and he did not prepare himself for eternity? He prepared himself for the now, but he did not prepare himself for the later. He prepared himself for the earthly life, but he did not prepare himself for the endless life. And the Bible says they looked at his barns and they were filled with wheat and grain. He says, wow, look at me. I've really done it. And the Bible says that God said, thou fool. God called him a fool. Why? Because he put all his time and energy in right now and never gave thought that there's eternity that we're all going to face. He was prepared here, but he was a fool in the eyes of God because he was not prepared for there. Eternity. And in closing, I want to say to you, number four, death is the gate to eternity. Death is the gate to eternity. You know the story, Luke 16, of Lazarus and the rich man. We know according to the scriptures that Lazarus was a saved man. We also know according to the scriptures that this rich man was lost. He wasn't lost because he was rich. He was lost because he was not saved. And the Bible shares the story. Jesus said that they both died. And the Bible makes it very clear for the sake of time. I'll not turn there. Luke 16. You mark that down. Read it yourself. It's right there. I'll not fool you. I'm not trying to convince you of something that's not there. But in Luke 16, the Bible says that Lazarus the beggar died. And the very next words, he was in Abraham's bosom. The word Abraham's bosom, that meaning is talking about paradise. It is talking about eternal splendor. It is talking about going from having nothing to having everything. It is a picture of the saint leaving this old world and going to a world made by God. And then it says the very next words that the rich man died. And immediately the Bible says, and in hell he lift up his eyes. I'm telling you, death is the gate to eternity. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it is appointed unto man once to die. But preacher, Enoch didn't die. What about Elijah? He was caught up in a whirlwind, described like a chariot of fire. But I thought you said, what about the raptured saints? The rapture may happen right now and we'll not have to die. Well, no, you're wrong. Every person that has ever lived will die. Now watch me. We think when we talk about death, we say that death is getting shot multiple times. Death is losing the battle of cancer. Death is drowning in a lake. Death is getting hit by a car. No, it goes deeper than that, my friends. According to the Bible, do you know what death is? Listen to me. Death is simply this: the separation of the soul from the earthly body. It is a parting of the soul, the real you, from your shell, your earthly body. When Enoch was translated, lifted up, his soul, him, the soul, him, was separated from his earthly body. Elijah, his soul was separated. A parting happened. A separation happened. That is what death is. Do you know what happens when the trumpet will blow in the eastern sky? The Bible says that not only will those bodies in the grave be lit, rose up, but it says while they're rising up, they'll be changed to a heavenly body. An eternal body. Listen to me. I'm telling you, when the trumpet blows, if you're still living this earthly life, it's not what you see is not what's going to get lifted and make it all the way to heaven. This right here that you're looking is not ever going to see heaven. This flesh ain't going to make it. The soul will be separated from the earthly body, and then Jesus will give us a heavenly body that our soul will inhabit. So the Bible is true. It's appointed that everybody's going to die. No matter if you go in the rapture, you go through death, your soul, you will be separated from your body. That is death. Death is a separation of the soul from the earthly body. 5 and 6. I'm going to say it so you can write the outline down. Number 5, there's no redemption in eternity. Listen to me. Don't you lose me. There's no redemption in eternity. When you breathe your last breath in this earthly life and your soul departs this shell and your spirit dies, at that moment, if you're lost and you never were saved, you'll never have the opportunity again to get on your knees and say, "Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I'm on my way to hell. Save me." Redemption is gone. There's no redemption in eternity. Once you breathe that last breath, based on what you did with Jesus, whether you accepted Him or whether you rejected Him, whatever decision you made in this earthly life, immediately, you will dwell forever in hell, eternal damnation, or you'll dwell forever in eternal salvation if you've been saved. But those that are in hell will never have a chance to be saved. Why? Because they had been given time to prepare. And God's idea is this. I gave you time to prepare. And if you were so foolish to waste that time, I don't believe that if I give you more time, you'll use it wisely. Listen to me, folks. You didn't know when you was going to be conceived, and you sure don't know when you're going to die. But in between that time, as I've said many times, you go to a cemetery, you look at a tombstone, it says, John Doe, born 1954. Died 1999. Whoa. But in between that birth date and that death date, there's a dash. And I want you to understand that is where we are right now.
Right.
We're in that dash. And you've already went through the birth. You're in that dash. I don't know how long that dash is going to be, but soon there will be a date of death.
Really?
Are you prepared? I must say to you, last of all, there's no redemption in eternity, but last of all, number six, you can be saved for eternity. You can be saved for eternity. I want to ask you today, do you know the Lord? Are you saved? Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins, and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin, and turn to Jesus Christ, and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this, and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.